It's here and now, and we've been taking a look at the war in Afghanistan, entering its 12th year this week. And as we just heard, by the end of next year, most U.S. combat troops are due to leave Afghanistan, making some Afghans very nervous about the void that will be left. And then there's the question of Afghanistan's neighbors. The BBC's James Kumarasamy has seen two of them, the former Soviet Republic of Tajikistan, which shares a border with Afghanistan, and Kyrgyzstan, where for the time being at least, the U.S. has the largest military base in the region.
A more relaxing type of target practice than they're used to for these American troops on their way home from Afghanistan. They're aiming beanbags into holes as they chill out at the Manas Transit Center in Kyrgyzstan.
Oh, come on!
They may have fought for their country, but as they prepare to return to it, their bags are screened like any other travelers.
They pick up their luggage and they walk past a mural which reminds them why they were in Afghanistan in the first place. It depicts Manhattan's skyline with two shafts of light where the Twin Towers once stood. And just underneath the mural is a fragment of the World Trade Center itself. They pick up their bags and then it's off through a door over which is a sign saying Gateway to Freedom.
It won't be long before this particular Central Asian gateway is closed. Under pressure from Russia, never comfortable with a US presence in its backyard, the Kyrgyz parliament has voted to end the lease on the base by the middle of next year, several months before the last American combat troops leave Afghanistan. The transit center's director, Colonel J.C. Millard, says some local news reports haven't helped their case.
There was a press story that came out that says that I'm a mafia boss and that I'm here to traffic human organs through the area. It's quite humorous.
Someone somewhere has an agenda.
Well, I would say so. I sent that story home. My wife, she didn't know that about me. And second, she was wondering where all the money was. But we have nothing to hide.
To the south, in neighboring Tajikistan, America's unique logistical skills are still being deployed to serve the front lines. At the lower Pianj border crossing, I watched trucks laden with NATO supplies rumble across the American-built and funded Friendship Bridge into Afghanistan.
I'm standing on the bridge. I've got 1 foot in Tajikistan, 1 foot in Afghanistan. This is the bridge over the river Pianj. And I'm with the border guards here. We're going to just talk about their work and their concerns about what will happen when the Americans leave next year.
In my opinion, the chaos will happen again. The fighting between the clans and the gangs and the Taliban will start all over again.
And how will that affect your work?
It'll be difficult for us.
Are you already preparing for that?
We're constantly prepared for it. We're protecting our borders and our state.
So I've come about 15 kilometres or so from the border and we're at a market. Let's have a talk to some of the stallholders here about what they think will happen when the Americans pull out.
We're farmers, peasants, we don't really know, this stallholder told me. The government knows about these things better. But a few stalls down, Siligal's top row of gold teeth glinted in the sun as she made it clear just how worried she was at the thought of the Americans going.
Of course, I worry about what will happen there. It keeps me awake at night, whether I'll wake up alive or dead.
It's not just an increase in militant attacks that they're afraid of. I've come here to an EU-funded, UN-run drug sniffer dog program in the capital, Dushanbe, where they are training animals to combat what they expect will be a large increase in the number of drugs coming across the border when the Americans pull out. Sukhrob Khacharov is country manager for the EU-UNDP border management program in Central Asia.
I think once the withdrawal of troops will start, the Tajikistan will become a sort of target for this narco-terrorism, because their understanding will be that the borders are less secured from Afghan side, and that will not only affect the drug trade, but I think other illegal crossings as well.
I was asked to put one of the canine combatants to the test, a 14-year-old black spaniel called Dora.
Hello. So I've been just been given a jar full of hashish. I've got some tweezers and I've got to hide it from Dora, the exploring drugs dog. Let's see where we can put it. Put a container around the back here. Little corner down here. Okay. Try not to drop it all. That'd be unfortunate, wouldn't it? There we go.
Okay, put it underneath there. Right. That's well hidden.
Right, let's see how Dora gets on finding the hashish I've stashed. Right, I better explain what's going on. So he's now just showing the dog the general area of where the drugs might be. And Dora's having a look. So he's banging on the container just so the dog knows he's still fine.
Is she?
She's found it. She's found it. She's got the hashish out. Well done, Dora. But however well the two-legged or four-legged defenders of the Tajik-Afghan border are prepared, it's hard to predict which post-pullout scenario will unfold. Sher Jurayev is a Central Asian political analyst.
We don't really have to expect the replay of what happened in the 90s after the Soviet withdrawal. What is important is that we don't know how that withdrawal will happen and to what extent US and its allies will maintain their presence in Afghanistan. Are they going to abandon the current government? If not, then in what ways they will be supporting? We don't know, so we just make assumption of what happens after US withdrawal.
It's mealtime at the US Transit Center at Manas, and trays are laden with the crispy shell delights of Taco Tuesday, while the televisions are switched to Monday Night Football. After more than a decade of fighting, these troops are ready for a return to the familiar comforts of home. What they'll leave behind is far less certain.
The BBC's James Kumarasamy with the view from neighboring countries as the US-led war with insurgents in Afghanistan enters its 13th year.
Well, three U.S.-based scientists won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry today. Martin Karplus, Michael Levitt, and Arya Warshall met at Harvard in the early 1970s, and it was there that they developed a computer program that brought together classical and quantum physics in order to study molecular reactions. Their breakthrough allowed scientists to simulate chemical reactions on screen instead of in the lab, and that's helped increase the speed and sophistication of everything from drug development to solar cell design. 72-year-old co-winner Ariel Warshall, who teaches chemistry at the University of Southern California, told NPR his life philosophy is reflected in his work.
The way I work was always not trying to write a formula, but having a problem in trying to see what would be the easiest way to put it on the computer, which meant, this is again something that I learned very early, that instead of reading 50 books, trying to solve it without a computer, with a computer, you could go to the initial formula, which is usually very simple, and just do it.
The winners will share a $1.2 million prize, but co-winner Michael Levitt says the only real change in his life is that he'll need to learn how to dance for the Nobel banquet. News is next, here and now.